Welcome to the North Central Baptist Church Podcast. We hope you're challenged by the message from our guest speaker.
It's wonderful to be here this morning in the warm weather that you have here in Florida. I texted our pastor back in Lincoln, a church we started 30 years ago, and I pastored for 3 years, and figured out that wasn't my deal. My deal was investing in college students. And I texted our pastor this morning. I said, praying for you. It's a warm 42 here as you stand before the frozen chosen and share the word of God. It's 6 below in Lincoln. That's going to be the high today. Tonight it'll be 14 below. And he texted me back and said, "Well, I sure hope me and the other 4 people will have a good time at church this morning." But it's great to be here with you and to feel your pain as Florida football fans, as Gators, because the Huskers feel your pain too. We had a similar year. We have a new coach. So it's kind of funny like that, because when you get a new coach, it's like all that pain just vanishes away. You just forget about the season and all the things that could have been but weren't. And you have a new hope. And that's kind of what Jesus wants to do in our lives in 2018. He wants us to have a fresh, new relationship with Him, a new purpose, and whatever stuff happened or didn't happen last year, that it will fade away into the presence of something new. And this morning I want to talk to you about a life purpose and have you think about maybe what is a purpose for your life in 2018. As Pastor Calvin said, I was a sophomore in college, halfway through my sophomore year, when I found myself in this situation. I'd grown up as a Christian kid. I was a good Christian kid. I started reading the Bible when I was 14 years of age and made a commitment to Jesus. And I was really doing everything I knew to do as a college student, but it wasn't going very well. I had a relationship with Christ, but it was really a distant relationship with Christ. I believed all the right stuff, and I tried to do what I know to do, and yet I found doubt starting to come into my life as a college student. Just wondering, so have I just been sold a bill of goods all my life in the Baptist church, or is this stuff really real? An aunt gave me a book at Christmas that year. It was a book called A Taste of New Wine by Keith Miller. It was not a book on alcohol. It was a book about how to find a new wine kind of thing in Christ rather than the old wine. I read this guy's book, and I couldn't put it down during Christmas break because I thought, this guy talks about Jesus like he's really alive. This guy talks about Jesus like he really exists. Man, if I could know something like that, maybe I could be a Christian the rest of my life. And it just kind of whetted some appetite in me. And about 2 weeks later, 3 weeks later, at the BCM at the University of Oklahoma, in walked the door a long, tall Texan named Max Barnett. And Max wasn't much to look at. And we kind of thought, wow, yeah, not sure we're going to stick around this. And Max got up to speak. And when he spoke, it's like the same personal relationship with Christ that I read about is in this room right now. And along with a number of other folks, including my wife, Mary, who's here, who we were dating at the time, we were curious about what is it about this life that's so different. So I'm going to talk about a life purpose, but a life purpose that's based on a personal relationship with Christ. And in your notes, somebody kindly put the outline of kind of what I'm going to say. If there are any scripture verses you'd want to write down or personal things, then feel free to do that. But as I got to know Max and one of the startling things to me was that he didn't read the Bible the way I did. I read the Bible from the time I was 14 years old on as though it was a history lesson and a storybook of stories about Christ. And Max read the Bible as though God wanted to say something to him today about his life through the Bible. And that totally startled me. And he kind of gave us the idea, it's like when you read the Bible, you read it with the idea of, so what I've read today, is there like a sin to confess that I need to confess? Is there a promise in this scripture that I need to claim? Is there an attitude I need to change? Is there a command I need to obey? Is there an example to follow? Is there a prayer I need to pray? Is there an error I need to avoid? Is there a truth I need to believe in this? Is there something in here I need to praise God for? And you read the Bible as though there's something in here for me between me and God today. And I began to read the Bible that way. And you know what? God began to speak to me about my life and my situation and my problems and my life purpose through the Bible. It says in 1 Corinthians 1:9, God is faithful, by whom you've been called into fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ. We're called into fellowship with Christ, not just to believe in him, not just have right doctrine, not just to show up at church. We're called to have fellowship with Christ, to know him, to be intimate with him, to be able to talk to him and go to him and praise him. Well, I want to tell you folks, that totally changed my Christian life. It totally turned me in a right direction to where I went to hear what he had to say. So this morning, I want us to look at Isaiah 55, because this is one of the passages that I read that determined my life purpose. So what I'd like to do this morning, what Pastor Calvin and I talked about, is to give you just a little piece of my testimony of how God has led me personally to relate to him. You know, we talk about a personal relationship with God, but very few people have it. Most relationship with God looks the same. Everybody's relationship looks the same. But you know what? Everybody in here is different as a snowflake. And we know about snowflakes in Nebraska. And by the way, if I haven't told you, when you see people wearing the N on their shirt, are there any Nebraska folks here besides me? Oh, too bad. Anyway, the N stands for knowledge, in case you wanted to know. That's why they wear it. But Isaiah chapter 55, and we're going to read this. I think we're going to have it up on the screen. It says, for as the rain and snow come down from heaven, and we know about snow and snowflakes, and return not thither, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose and prosper in the thing for which I sent it. For you shall go out in joy and be led forth in peace, and the mountains and hills before you shall break forth into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come the cypress. Instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle. And it shall be to the Lord for a memorial, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. Well, in 1968, almost 50 years ago, I was reading through the book of Isaiah, and this passage captured my attention, hit me between the eyes, and has become something that has directed my life and my purpose ever since. And so I want to just take one of these verses the last verse, verse 13, and explain to you how this has become part of the purpose of my life. In fact, if I was going to have a life verse, this is my life verse. Max was in Singapore a number of years ago, and we had the practice of memorizing Bible verses on little cards and hiding the word in our heart. And Max knew this guy who was a craftsman, and he said, "Brad, I'm going to have a verse box made for you, and I want to know what your life verse is so I can put it on that box." And so he brought back a beautiful teak wood box that had this verse engraved on the top of it. So this is a verse that has guided my life. It has given me hope, and it's about my personal relationship with Christ. So I want to unpack this morning. It says, instead of the thorn will come up the cypress, instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle. And the idea that came to me was, God's called me to sow the word of God. That I would sow the word of God, that I would place it in the lives of the people that he brings around me. And that his promise is that when I sow his word, that instead of weeds coming up or instead of nothing happening, that when I sow his word, that something strong and something beautiful is going to grow from that. So going and sowing the word of God. When we graduated, we didn't go directly to Nebraska. We went to Miami, Florida. We were there for 2 years at what used to be called University Baptist Church in Coral Gables, next to the University of Miami. And we were there, I was both youth director of the church and the college guy for the church. And I found out after two weeks, that God had called me to be the college guy, and he was through suffering going to perfect me by being the youth guy, right? And that it just wasn't my deal, but it was the deal God gave me, that I got to learn and be disciplined through being the youth guy. And so we were on the college campus, and seriously, looking back on it, we were 2.5 years into really being discipled and learning discipleship. And looking back on it, we knew so very little, but what little we did know, we tried to put into action. So I would go to the university and I would talk to students at the University of Miami, and I would take the seed and place it into their lives, talking to them about their relationship with God and trying to share the word of God with them. And we had the spiritual habit in our life of daily Bible reading and prayer, but we also shared Christ with everyone we could. Our home next to the church was open for hospitality. We had college students in there all the time, and the youth group, and sharing with them. And in 1969, something happened, and if you're as old as me, you know about this, something called the Jesus Movement. That in that 1970-1971, there was an unusual movement of God among the youth culture in this country. The hippie culture, the disenfranchised, the anti-war movement people were coming to faith in Christ in incredible numbers. And we were on the campus at that time, sowing the word of God. They would have the anti-war rallies, and we would go out there with our gospel tracts and our gospel Johns, and we would say, instead of dropping drugs, why don't you drop a little Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John? It's going to really help you. It's really going to connect you. Just drop a little bit of this. It'll take you on a bigger trip than whatever you're dropping. That's kind of the terminology during that day. And we saw so many young men and women as we sowed the word of God in their life, that regardless of what direction they were going, they turned around and came to faith in Jesus. I remember in February, I personally led 30 students to Christ. I mean, we were sitting eating dinner at our house one day, and I go to the door, and there's a guy there. He said, hello. He said, I'm Jewish, but I've heard this is where you come to be saved. I said, you're right. Come on in. And we sat down with him, and he opened his heart and gave his life to Jesus. I mean, that was a movement of God. We were doing the ordinary work of just placing the Word of God and sharing Christ with every person we could. And God was doing this extraordinary thing of opening students' eyes and removing the blinders and causing them to follow Christ. Sow the word. It says in Ecclesiastes 11:6, in the morning sow your seed. At evening, keep going. You don't know which is going to prosper, this or that, or whether both alike will be good. We just are called on. My purpose is just to sow the word of God in every life that I encounter and to try to place that word in that person's life. It says in Colossians 1:28-29, him we proclaim, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man mature in Christ. For this I toil, laboring with all the energy he puts in me, sowing the word of God. I long for the day that the Holy Spirit will again move on this culture in America. Do we ever need it? For the eyes, the blinders on the eyes to drop, and for people to say, I seriously am messed up. I need Jesus. And then Christ comes into their life and changes them. I hope I live long enough to see it happen again. And we do the ordinary work of sowing, and God does the extraordinary work of removing the veil from people's eyes. Lord, do it again. Do it again. So as I read this verse, it's like, that's what I need to do. I need to sow. That's what God's called me to do, to sow this seed in the lives of men and women that I come in contact with. It says, instead of the thorn will come up the cypress, and instead of the briar will come up the myrtle. As I read this, I thought, well, I'm just not going to sow, but God has promised to do something here. I'm going to trust God for the promised results of enduring fruit. See, we just didn't want to lead people to Jesus and leave them there. We wanted to see God do a work that had enduring results. And I'm going to tell you two stories here. First one is about a guy named Ray Crawford. I think I have a picture of Ray. Yeah, that's Ray. On the left, that's Ray 50 years ago. And on the right, that's Ray today. Guys, stuff happens. Yeah. Now, the Ray on the left, Ray, that's after Ray came to faith in Christ. When I met him, he was, by his own admission, a long-haired, weirdo, hippie freak. The day that he accepted Christ was one day after he had had a bad acid trip. And he came down off that trip, and God arranged that we would meet together. And I sowed the word of God in his life. And Ray began to change. His GPA was like 0.5 at Miami-Dade Junior College the day he accepted Christ. 1 year later, he had a 4-point. God totally renovated this young man's life. And we stuck with him. He had a father wound in his life. He had all kinds of wounds that he's trying to fill with his drug abuse. And He was a rock music guy. He played in a band down in Miami. And God began to move in his life. And God led Mary and I to invite him to come and live in our home, which was a real trip for us. It wasn't an acid trip. Believe me, it was a trip. And because we weren't hillbillies. We were rednecks. And when we went to Miami, I had white sidewall haircut. You know what I'm talking about? Like I just got out of the Marines. And when I left Miami 2 years later, I had big lamb chops. And when my mother saw me, she just started crying. So I guess this hippie thing went both ways, right? It's like we helped him and loved him and helped him get cleaned up a little bit. And we kind of got a little messed up, I guess, some people would say. But we invested in Ray for years and prayed for him and walked him through his flashbacks and the bad stuff that drugs do in a person's life. And Ray had other people investing in his life. He was like all in. He moved to Lincoln when we were there after he graduated from college, and he worked side by side with us on campus. And then he went to Omaha and had his own campus. And he went to Fort Collins, Colorado, where he led a collegiate ministry. And now Ray, he would say, I'm not a long-haired weirdo hippie freak. I'm a short-haired weirdo Jesus freak. He's an adjunct faculty for Liberty University and is teaching young men and women about the ways of God. Instead of the thorn will come up the cypress. There's a cypress right there. If you want to know what a cypress looks like, that's what it looks like. And then there's another guy, Dave Bartow. Dave, yeah, there it is again. It's going to happen to you. If it hadn't already, guys, get ready. It's coming. So there's Dave. And I met Dave at church. He was a college student that came to the church where I was the college guy. And he seemed like a decent enough guy. And I met him on a Sunday. And Monday, I'm sitting having coffee at our house, and I look out the window, and there's Dave. He's our mailman. It's like, oh, he's our mailman. So I go out and greet him and talk to him, and I try to find out, like, where he's at. And after a few days, I invite him in for a cup of coffee. Have you ever invited your mailman in for a cup of coffee? I never had. But these were the hippie days. This is stuff that happened, right? This is, like, cool time to live. And so I invited him in for coffee, and we started drinking coffee and talking about his life. He had some real deep integrity issues that we began to talk about. And he was not pursuing Christ in terms of, he was a Christian, but he's kind of like where I was when I started out. He was like a Christian at a distance. He wasn't a Christian with a personal, daily, vital relationship with Christ. And so, like with Ray, Dave did live with us for a while, not immediately. He moved into our house for training later, but we began to talk about his life, and he began to get a vision of what his life could be. And, you know, he began to read the Bible and pray and listen to God. He began to memorize Scripture. He began to go out on campus and plant the Word of God in the lives of students. And you fast forward 50 years, and he's just finished a career with the International Mission Board. He lived in Dubai, and he worked with the North African Middle East region of the world, and he was like a counselor to the missionaries. And he had a gift of mercy. And instead of the thorn will come up the cypress, instead of the briar will come up the myrtle. This is myrtle here. If you want to know what myrtle looks like, this is what myrtle looks like. Because when you sow the Word of God in people's lives and you pray for them and you help them grow, God does something fabulous. He turns these folks who are pretty much dead into living things that bear beautiful fruit to His glory. So my purpose, sow the word, trust God to do a miracle in the lives of these men and women. And then the third is to live for the glory of God. We'll finish up this verse with, as it says this, "And this shall be to the Lord for a memorial, for an everlasting sign that will not be cut off." Be to the Lord for a memorial. I've seen a memorial to George Washington. I've seen a memorial to Thomas Jefferson. I've seen a memorial to Abraham Lincoln. But this is talking about a memorial to the Lord. And this will be a memorial to the Lord. And as I thought about this and prayed over this, it's like God said, you know, Brett, the way you will live for my glory is you will sow the word in the lives of men and women. You will trust me to see this grow into a glorious, beautiful, fruitful life. And that life will be a memorial to me. People will see that life and they'll go, wow, how great is God that he could make someone into something like this. How wonderful is this? You see, the memorials to Jesus are the people in whom he dwells. And if Christ dwells in you, do you know what he wants you to be? Is a memorial to him. That when you are around people, what they think about is Jesus. That you love like Jesus. You have the joy of Jesus, the peace, the kindness, the goodness, the gentleness, the faithfulness, and the self-control of Jesus. That he is being formed in you, and that you are an eternal memorial. Now, my 41 years leading the ministry in Nebraska, we've lived there 45 years. But the 41 years we were leading the ministry, my life intersected thousands of people. And I was able to plant the Word of God into so many of those. We started a BCM. We started a church. We built buildings for our church. We sent out countless mission teams all over the world. We had hundreds of retreats and conferences. And guess what? None of that will last. It ain't gonna last. It's done. It's in the rearview mirror. But do you know what will last? There are really only two things that are going to last in the world. It's not going to be your house or your bank account, your boat. It's not going to be your job. The only two things in the world that are going to last is the Word of God and people. Jesus said in Matthew 24:35, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will not pass away." This is eternal. The word of God is eternal. People are eternal. And this was my life purpose, to take the word of God and put it into the lives of people. And folks, that's where eternity really is. So my life purpose for the last 50 years, and I'm not quitting. You know, if you're not dead, you're not done, right? My life purpose is to take the Word of God and to place it into the lives of every person that I have the opportunity to do that with. That's what will bring glory to God, to live for His glory. I want to close with another picture up here. I took that a year ago, August. Mary and I had the idea, well, wouldn't it be fun to contact all those kids in Florida that we saw come to faith in Christ, that we're still in touch with, and invite them to a retreat? And we did. There they are. There were others who couldn't come. We sat around this room, this is like 47 years later. We were all kids. And now look at us. Pitiful, isn't it? We were all kids, and we were sitting in this room. We went around the circle. This happened more than once during our weekend retreat. And every person began to talk about how they had seen God work through their life, in their life, and in their family. And folks, I felt like I could walk out of that room into the hands of Jesus. I had just tasted heaven. Because that's what he's all about. Is taking truly messed up people, like those people up there and like everybody sitting in here. Taking truly messed up people and turning them into memorials to Jesus. Man, I hope 2018 that you will strive and allow yourself to be more this year a memorial to Jesus than you've ever been. Let's pray, and then Pastor Calvin will come.
Thanks for letting this small part of North Central Baptist Church experience stream into your life. We hope you will visit us soon and become part of the family of North Central Baptist Church, reflecting Christ's light on Gainesville and the world.